It's Tuesday at 8 p.m. and you're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.
You're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.
Now, regular listeners will be aware that I am from the north originally, and I was delighted to receive an invitation from Taste Causeway to visit in a few weeks' time. But ahead of that, I thought it would be useful to check in with Chef Paula McIntyre, who is a tremendous ambassador for the region. Let's have a listen.
Bon appetit.
Yummy.
Grubs up.
Delicious.
Paula, great to have you back on the programme. I have to start off by congratulating you on your latest role. You're the new chair of the Irish Food Writers Guild.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. Yeah, looking forward to it.
For anybody that's not familiar with the Guild and what the Guild does, you've lots of members there on both sides of the border, and you're all about sharing all the great news in terms of food and drink in Ireland, and sharing it not just in Ireland, but also beyond Ireland on an international scale.
That's it. That's the thing. I mean, there's some, you know, I think we've about 70 members, but, you know, the people like Doreen Allen, you know, Georgina Campbell, you know, just lots of, I can't even begin to tell, you know, Caroline Hennessy, but there's so many great writers there. And I mean, I think one of the privileges of my life was being nominated for it in the first place, which was way back, I think, in 2009, Sharon. And it's just been, it's such a lovely group of people, you know, and I think we're all very supportive of each other. You know, and for me to be coming from the north is, you know, it's great. And we were down in Wexford in last August, you know, on the annual outing, you know. So we went down there, and honestly, it was like Wexford. I'd been to Wexford before, but to be introduced to that food scene down there, it was unbelievable. I mean, I came away and I was buzzing, you know, really buzzing about it for about a fortnight afterwards. I kept thinking about things that I'd tasted and the people, and it was just amazing, you know. And you know, you sort of think, you know, it's all this like the sunny southeast, you know, and it's like, but there's so much more to it, you know. Wow. But then all of Ireland is like that, you know. They're groups, and I think what the good thing about the Guild is recognizing and promoting the food producers, the smaller food producers that are, you know, they're not necessarily in it to make them. They're not going to make a fortune, but they're just passionate about what they do. And you know, that we went to Tara Honey, and that was just unbelievable. And Bean and Goose Chocolates, and it was just such a lovely time, you know. But brilliant.
When you're busy all day every day in the job that pays the bills, it's hard to get about to go and visit producers. So whenever there is a group visit like that, and these are the dates and this is where we're going, when you don't have to think about it, you just
know. It's great.
It is. It definitely is fantastic. And then you're talking about the locally sourced in season ingredients, which a few of your members have written cookbooks like yourself. And you're very much about using locally sourced in-season ingredients, and Taste Causeway is doing loads of work up in your neck of the woods to highlight all those different food and drink producers that you have up there.
Yeah, I think Taste Causeway now is something that I'm quite involved in. I'm very involved in, firstly, because it's where I live. You know, I live in Port Stewart, so... And it just makes sense for me to, you know, to promote the food from up here as well. So, I mean, and it's just a collaborative and we all work together. You know, there are lots of members. You know, you've got everything from, you know, butchers to, you know, moily beef farmers to gin producers to breweries. We've got oil, you know, Leona's rapeseed oil there. We've got lots of restaurants. You know, and it's great, you know. We all work well together, which is good, which you have to do in a collaboration, don't you?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's the best way forward, and I'm very passionate about collaboration and my own network now, that you'd be talking about somebody in Wexford. Well, I know that person in Wexford, or I could be talking about somebody in Donegal and you know that person in...
That's right.
That the food scene is huge, but actually it's quite small. It's a bit of a village as well, and that we know so
it is. But even if you look out, you know, in England and Scotland, I mean, I know a lot of producers there because of my involvement in Slow Food. And Slow Food has been a brilliant thing for me. I joined it in 2014, and the doors that has opened for me and the people that I know. And it's I remember going to Iceland about a few years ago, and somebody sent me a message. I checked in on Facebook and somebody sent me a message, a guy that I know from Borough Market. He said, "So you've got to meet Ernie. She's a cheesemonger." And I write, okay, and I went down to Ernie and we had a chat, and we knew lots of people, you know, we knew the same people. And she said, "So we're having a dinner tonight upstairs." And then a couple of the young chefs were going up the stairs and said, "Oh, ask Paula to the dinner tonight." So I went to the dinner It was just fantastic. And then went back to the hotel for a nightcap. The bar manager said, "Where were you tonight?" And I said, "Oh, we're at this dinner." "How did you get a ticket for that?" Do you know, it was the hottest ticket in town. It was, you know, and you sort of think that's what I love about, you know, about food. And it's a, as you say, Sharon, it's a village. Everybody knows everybody. And it's like a, you know.
Not always a good thing, Paula.
No. Not in these days of social media. but it's great. I think it's just, it's such a lovely, you know, I think it's a lovely industry to be involved in. You know, it's so, it is social. And I mean, you're running around a lot of the time just trying really lovely things and sure, you know, and then doing a bit of writing about it and cooking with it. I mean, I don't know that I'm lucky with what I do, that I'm able to make a living out of, you know, of food, really, food and drink. It's you know, I can't really imagine myself doing anything else, you know, so.
And look, growing up in Northern Ireland myself, and the summers would have been spent, if you had visitors, we would have gone up to the Giant's Causeway and to Bush Mills and Carrigaree Rope Bridge. Those would have been the three staples. And I always find it quite strange looking back in that time when Bush Mills was such a huge player, not only in the region, but also worldwide. Mm-hmm. And we're probably ahead of the curve whenever it came to not only manufacturing a fantastic product, but also having that visitor experience.
It's amazing, the visitor experience.
And now there are so many other players in food and drink in that region that maybe there was a number of them there that they just weren't spoken about the way that they're spoken about now and showcased the way that they're showcased now.
Yeah, and you even look at the village of Bush Mills, like, you know, 30 years ago, it would have been, you know, it was just a wee village, but now it's like it's a tourist trap, you know, the actual village itself. You know, you've got the inn, you've got a couple of really nice restaurants in it, and then there's the Magden cheese shop, which has just been a magnificent, you know, addition to Bush Mills. And I was in it in the summer, not even the summer, I think it was maybe last September, and just everybody in the shop, we were sitting at the back having cheese sandwiches, you know, the grilled cheese sandwiches. Every single person in the shop was French.
Wow.
And, you know, this is coming to a cheese shop and eating Irish cheese, you know, and it's just brilliant, isn't it? I think that we've come sort of full circle up here, really, haven't we? You know, it's just the amount of visitors we have now is incredible, you know. And I mean, I know that whenever I first moved back here, you know, I've been in England and I moved back here in 1997, and it was a kind of a wasteland.
Even Ballycastle now, we'd have gone to the Lammas Fair in Ballycastle, and it wasn't the most salubrious of towns back then. And now, oh my God, it's fabulous, and it's only 20 minutes down the road from Ballymena whenever I'm visiting my mum there, and it has fantastic bakeries and coffee shops, and of course Morelli's ice cream was always there, but even it more on an international scale now, and won
that's incredible. Won
the Supreme Champion Award last year at Glossnairn for its mango sorbet.
That's right, great to see that, you know, because I mean, they, you know, they're a long established company, but I think Naldo in you know, has taken up what his father started. You know, Guido was always the one who experimented with ice creams and the flavours. And I think what Naldo and the family, you know, Daniela and Tanya and Marino, I mean, they've built an international product now, haven't they? And they've done really well in the Great Taste Awards as well. So it always was an institution, but I think they've taken it to the next level now.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And it is great to see the new generations coming in and bringing something new to the table. And just, I suppose, ensuring that the business continues on for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I mean, that's one of the things. But, you know, you talk about Ballycastle. I mean, I live 20 minutes from Ballycastle, but I feel like I'm going to somewhere otherworldly when I go over to Ballycastle for lunch. You know, going to Ursa Minor, which is a vegetarian bakery and coffee shop, and the food is incredible. The cakes that Kira's doing, oh, I mean, I just, you know, there's sometimes I'm looking at Instagram and I just get into the car, you know. And the great thing about them too is they're supplying their, you know, your sourdough, the sourdough. You can go and get the sourdough in lots of different places in Port Stewart, which is good. You know, it's good to be able to have that access to you know, really good bread.
And Portrush then always would have had a couple of really good places. For example, the Ramon, if you were going up to the Ramon there, that was a great treat.
Uh-huh. It's still, I mean, it's quite a big business now, you know, so it's definitely, it's still there and it's incredible. That was one of my first jobs, actually.
Oh.
When it was, I was a commie there, but that was when they, in those days, it had a Michelin Red M, which I suppose would have been the equivalent of a Babe Gourmand. So there's a restaurant upstairs and a wine bar downstairs. And George, the chef, had just come back. He was very young at that time. I think he was 23 and I was 18. I was at college in Belfast and I was doing all my placements there. There were fishing boats still coming into the harbour. So that's where I learned to fillet fish. So you're getting at that stage, you know, there were big turbot coming in. First time I saw monkfish and, you know, just things like that. And but I remember every week of this Polystyrene box arrived from Paris, from Rungis Market. And it was full of things like lettuce, herbs, quail, you know, milk-fed veal. And when I think about that now, that he was bringing in herbs. Nobody was growing herbs. Then people suddenly started to realise, look, you can grow herbs here. We can... And the lettuce, you remember oak leaf lettuce, and people used to send it back. They said it was, oh, that lettuce is brown. but that stage, you know, Portrush was it. That would have been, I was working there in 1985 and right in the middle of the troubles, but we were cocooned up there.
Yeah.
You know, there was this really beautiful restaurant that people were coming to from all over, you know, Northern Ireland and beyond. And I remember George had trained with Michael Smith, you know, the English chef. And I remember him coming, and I still have the book somewhere where he signed his cookbook. It's Michael Smith's English cooking, and it was just all different, you know, things like really traditional dishes. And I remember him coming, and us all being starstruck. And I was there working at the time when Floyd was there doing his show. Sometimes they still repeat it on a Saturday Kitchen. And Keith Floyd was fantastic. You know, Keith Floyd drank a good part of a bottle of Bushmills whiskey and just charmed everybody. He was excellent. Quite a shy man. Just really nice, you know.
You mentioned Scotland there, and you have a fantastic TV programme. It's called Hamley Kitchen, and it's all about Ulster Scot food and dishes. So the WI cookbook from 1950 was your inspiration for the TV show.
It was another book called Florence Irwin, The Cooking Woman, that really would have been one that we used in the first series. And then I went down, I was down in Galway, and I was having dinner with Jess Murphy in Kye, and it was Jess that gave me the Ulster Fare cookbook.
Wow.
And it cost her €30. So, you know, and then I sort of looked at it, and it was Jess that brought that. But the Cooking Woman was about a book by Florence Irwin, and that's got all the different things in it as well. And we used a few of the recipes, you know, or influence, you know, took inspiration from Florence's recipes and then some of the recipes from the Ulster Fair, you know, like semolina gnocchi from Carnlough, WA, you know, things like that. So it's just, wow. You know, it's a, yeah.
And do you like doing the TV shows, Paula?
Yeah, I love doing them, yeah. I mean, I've never been out. I mean, I've always really liked radio, Sharon. Radio was always sort of my first love, and I, you know, still do a slot in Radio Ulster on a Saturday morning. But I've always loved radio, but I didn't really have any TV I'd done. It was like I found it tedious, you know. But this is all completely different. I was just they commissioned a 3-part series at the beginning, and I thought, well, look, this is brilliant. I'm going to throw my heart and soul into it. And we just had a brilliant time making it and loved it. And I thought that would be it, you know. And then when it got commissioned again, I thought, this is great. And then I got commissioned last year, and we've done a few wee specials in the middle. So it's just been a fantastic, the TV company that I work with, Clean Slate, I've kind of known them on and off for maybe 25 years. And we've done bits and pieces together, and we just all really work well together, and we have an inordinate amount of crack on the set. It's just such good fun, and you know we're not rushing anything. It's just all, you know, we organize everything. It's all really nice. There's time. We take time out for lunch every day. You know, it's just, you know, and have a chat. There's no. It's just a really lovely. It's a lovely environment to work on. So we're going now to do the series this year. We're moving away from Portrush, which we filmed the first three series on, and we're going to do a Hamley Kitchen America. So we're doing the Appalachian Trail, sort of from Maine to Tennessee, and following the Ulster Scots, but from a food point, or the Scotch Irish, and it's all from a food point of view, and their influence that they've had from Maine down to Tennessee, because, you know, Dolly Parton, she's Scotch-Irish.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing trip just to do. You turn it into a TV show. So you're going to be in the States for a few weeks doing that.
Probably about a month on and off. You know, we're going to do the North first, Maine and New Hampshire. And there's a lot of connections, so we've, you know, really well-known connections. And then down to Tennessee, and, you know, Nashville was founded by two Ulster Scots, or two Scotch-Irish. So Dolly Parton has, you know, Scotch-Irish ancestry. So we're going to Dollywood as well. So it's all, you know, can't wait. And then I'm going to be cooking over fire, so cooking on an oak, you know, on flame. So it'll all be all the cooking outside, and cooking, I suppose, on a big skillet or a griddle, you know, so it'll be good.
Will you not miss that fabulous kitchen that you have up at home there?
I love that house, and I love that kitchen and everything. It's all beautiful, but it's an induction hob. And let's just say it's induced a lot of bad language, because you have to stay, it keeps beeping, and it's like, and you can't control the heat on it. I can control a fire better. Do you know what I mean?
And I just love the way you appear on screen, Paula, and you're talking in such smooth tones. And then you're out with a fisherman and you're talking more like the Paula I know.
I know, I can't really. I think anybody that knows me, they always say, oh, you can't, you know. How do you keep your constitution? Yeah, well, you sort of have to. I couldn't be the way I am, really, Sharon. I'd have to be on at 3 a.m.
And I was very disappointed not to see you in your bikini going into the Atlantic Ocean with the sea swimmers.
I know. Could you imagine? There wouldn't have been another series. But it is funny, because after the TV show I had to stop swimming in Port Stewart, because I'm coming out of the sea, and as you know, there's cars there. People were getting out of their cars and coming over, and I'm standing there in my swimming suit, you know, like everything's, you know, and they're like, oh, I love your TV show. I'm like, where am I putting everything here now? And I'm going, you know.
they want a photograph with you.
God, and I'm thinking, oh, I need my dry robe. I need to get covered here. So I go to a quiet part of Benone Beach now.
So you've mentioned there that you're going filming over in the States, and what else are you up to that we need to keep our eyes out for you?
I brought out a gin last year and a rum late on, and I think what we're going to do now is we're going to do more like a subscription, Sharon, with gin liqueurs, and we're bringing one out on the 31st of March, you know, so it'll be an apple one. There'll be a bit of elderflower in with it as well. And then in the summer, it'll be probably rhubarb. So it's got less alcohol and, you know, it, but it's going to have all these packed with lots of, you know, a really beautiful apple. Magic Star Apple is a wee bit of a revelation. It's like, it's the most, I love the name, Sharon. So Magic Star Gin sounds a bit groovy, doesn't it?
I thought you were going to say it would be packed with vitamins.
It will be vitamins and minerals, of course. And we've still got our base botanicals, you know. So we've still got the elderflower and the gorse, and then, you know, with this all combined with this lovely fresh apple. I love apples. I just love the, you know, I have an apple tree in the garden here, Sharon, and a couple of years ago I was going to move house because I thought, well, I've only got, you know, it's a bungalow, I've only got one bathroom, I'm going to move house. And then opened the curtains one day and the apple tree was in blossom. And I thought, I can't leave that. It's like an animal, you know, it's like a pet. So I actually put an extension on to the house rather than leave the. And funny, I've got somebody coming this morning because the apple tree is kind of listing a bit. So I have to get it. It's quite old, so we're having to get it. But I just love having an apple tree in the garden. I've got a quince tree as well. And Leona, that does Brighter Gold, bought me a hazelnut tree as well. So fancy doing something with hazelnuts as well later on in the year, like a seasonal one.
And it's great to have that produce outside your door.
I know, yeah.
So listen, great to chat to you, Paula. You you're quite active on your Instagram. Just remind us what your Instagram is and we get people to pop on there to follow you.
It's at Paula Cooks.
We'll keep an eye on that to see where you are, what you're up to, and enjoy the trip to the US of A.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait. I can't believe that I'm actually going to America to film a TV series. It'll be lovely.
It's richly deserved. So enjoy.
Thank you.
And thanks again for talking to me.
Oh, no, thank you for having me, Sharon. Thanks a million.
You're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.